I just want to pick up a couple of things. We missed a little bit out of the piece about Elijah, because Jezebel had just told Ahab what Elijah had been up to and how all the prophets were dead, and they set out to kill Elijah, so he was pretty terrified when he was running, and we can understand that. The psalm talks about the same, how things just come against us all the time. I'll mention a little bit about Galatians. That's a confusing piece. Did you find yourself a bit confused with it? It's a difficult one to pick up, to understand what's going on with Paul. You need to understand the people he's talking to. And he's talking to people, primarily Gentiles, which makes it strange. Why is he talking about the Hebrew Scriptures when he's talking to Gentiles? How many of you have got an answer to that? Nobody. Well, I'll tell you the answer. So next time I ask, you'll have the answer, right? Here's the answer to it. There were people coming in. You've heard about those super apostles and others, haven't you? You know, the ones come in and they said, "We're really good. You listen to us, we'll tell you. You need to be circumcised. You need to be like all the Hebrew people. It's all part of our tradition. And you need to be part of that because this is where the gospel's coming from." So Paul does the same thing. He goes back into the Old Testament and he says, "They're talking about Moses. I'm going to tell you about Abraham, way before Moses. And before Abraham, God had a purpose for you to be in his church. God had a purpose for you." And he goes through and tells them how, and how it is that Jesus takes that on and how he redeems us. So that's why Paul's doing the things that he's doing. But I'm not going to talk to you about that today. I'll bet you're relieved. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about more horrible things. Fear. Fear. Have you ever been fearful? Fear of heights. Fear of tight spaces. Fear. Sometimes the squealer breaks. And what do? Fear. Alcohol. Sometimes I've seen people just say, "No, they won't take communion or anything," because you need to be very careful when it's taken hold of you at some time. Fear can grab hold of you. We need, you know, whatever substance, we need to be very careful. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? God gave us a gift. Do you know what the greatest gift God's given you? Well, he's given you love, but he gave you life first. He gave you life. And within us, there's a sense of protection of that gift. And when we hear things that threaten us, our responses are fight or flight. You've heard that before, haven't you? Fight or flight. And what happens for us, the brain is really, really fast about things. And it looks at... And so, like, if you take the squealer brakes, the brain automatically goes, where have I seen that before? And starts to respond. So you might have been tail-ended at one time and heard the screech and the thump, and you're waiting for the impact. Sometimes it's hidden in us. For a long time, I was fearful of heights. Not every height. Just some heights, and I couldn't figure it out until I started to pray and I got part of the VMTC ministry, which is a healing ministry. You're all fairly familiar with it here. And part of that, God just brought it back to me. In my childhood, there used to be the old horse and cart had come around the street with the gypsies, and they had a little swing thing with a small motor, and the guy had started up and all these chain swings. So you go up the steps onto the platform, get onto your chain swing, the floor is right there, And he'd start this motor, putt, 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 and he'd put it into gear, and then he'd push it with his arm to keep it going because the motor was so weak it could barely keep it up. But once it got going, then it could start. And I was sitting on it, and this is where I went back to. I was on this swing as a little boy and sitting down, and the floor was right there. And then when it went out wide, suddenly the ground was another 5 foot or more down. And it just frightened the life out of me, and I tried to jump out of the swing. Fortunately, my dad caught me. Now, I remembered all those things, and for years, I would not go on rides or anything. For years, and I did not know why. Fear takes hold, and it terrorizes us at times. It terrorizes us. We need to be sometimes very careful. Those vulnerable moments, terror takes hold, and it demonizes in many ways. So let me tell you about the disciples. The core disciples were fisher folk, so they knew what it was like to be out in a boat in a storm, because the Sea of Galilee was notorious for storms blowing up quickly, and they knew what it was like. They'd got caught out there before. But what happens here? This one comes along, and they were terrorized by the danger. Was it a really bad storm or what? You know, but here it is, and they're really, really worried about it. Maybe they'd seen something like this before, and it wasn't a good thing to go through. They woke Jesus and said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." You remember the story? Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind, the raging water, the storm subsided, and he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" There's such a thing as healthy fear. To respect the power of a storm is healthy, but to be terrorized by fear is unhealthy. Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" The Message says it this way: "Why can't you trust me?" Actually, I'm just thinking, you know, if you miss the point of what I'm saying today, just listen to Colin's first two songs, because they pretty much get this whole sermon together. He does a great job of picking these things up. Where is your faith? Paul told us about where faith is, but I'll come back to that if I don't remind me. So the answer to their fear is so simple, and yet so hard to put in practice. And I know, because I've had to keep relearning it all the time. It's taken a long time to get firmer and firmer in my faith. In the midst of your fears, just keep trusting Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. And I could tell you that has saved me time after time after time. Keep trusting Jesus. Sometimes Jesus calms the storm. Do I tell you another little story? I was studying theology at university, and our senior lecturer, the head of theology, or dean of theology, was planting a lawn. And I said, "I can get you some of my lawn, which is really great grass. It's excellent. It's not itchy or anything. It's a Queensland blue. It was very good." Anyway, he said, "Oh, that'd be really good." And so we got my trailer, and he teed up a couple of the other students to help out. And we're all in the car, we got his trailer, and we're driving down, because I was a passenger in the car. We're driving down to my place, we're coming from Wollaston up to Safety Bay, and it's pouring down with rain. And I said, "Oh, we're going to get soaked." I said, "No, we'll just ask God not to rain." And the other student said, "Yeah, theologically speaking, we don't think whether God God cares whether you get wet or not. If it needs to rain, it's going to rain. I said, I beg your pardon, God does care. I remember not so long ago, and we were just going past the servo at the time, I said, that servo, I pulled in there, and I was heading up to my mother-in-law's place to take some things to her. I pulled in there and it was bucketing down. And I said, please, Lord, I've come out without my raincoat. It'd be nice if I just got a little respite. And I said, I got that respite. Filled my car, put it, paid it, just closed the door and it bogged down again. And they said, yeah. So we went up to get the grass, and we got there, and there was no rain. The rain stopped. And as soon as we put the last piece and we're just getting into the car, the rain started again. I said, don't tell me God doesn't care. God cares. Now, does God do that every single time? No, but he does look after me, always. Sometimes he stills the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he stills you, calms you. And I've experienced both of those. The disciples' response to Jesus is one of healthy fear, absolute awe, amazement and humility in the presence of Jesus, who they ask, what is this? Their questions left hanging as they arrive in the country of the Gerasenes, opposite Galilee, where today's reading picks up. They'd crossed to the region of the Decapolis, to the east of the Jordan, and the Sea of Galilee. Both Jew and Gentile lived there. So if you wondered why there's pigs there, there were Jews and there were Gentiles there in that region. I don't know if you remember, when they were coming into the land before they crossed to Jordan, there were those 1.5 tribes or 2.5 tribes that asked if they could stay there, set up camp there. And then the others, and they said, yeah, you can, but you have to come and fight along with us. Do you remember those bits? No? Let me tell you, if you don't know about it, do you know about like the Bible app called YouBible? Do you know that one? It's free. It just comes up. It looks like a Bible on here. And I want to tell you, have you read the Bible through chronologically from beginning to end? Some nodding heads. Great. On here, I'll see if I can do it. It's telling me I did a great job. I see you get cheered on with it and everything. You're not going to be able to see it. It's too small. But basically, this app, and that's just called the Bible now, but it's YouBible if you Google it, or a free app. And in there, there's Tara Lee Cobble does a thing called the Bible Recap, and she puts it in a chronological order. There's little hiccups along the way, but it's the best we can do with it. And she's really interesting to listen to, very down to earth, keeps moving you through it, and you can read it in a year. It's worth doing. You get the whole passage of Scripture through, and so you would understand that some of those tribes were on one side, and that's where they crossed to. And of course, there were a mix of people over there. And where was I up to? That's where they encountered this demonized man. Demonized, it's unusual, but it's not unknown. And we joke about the devil. We don't take him seriously. Demon possession in Jesus' time included things like epilepsy and other sicknesses. And they're now explained by modern medicines. And it makes it easier to dismiss the devil. But I've yet to hear of a successful treatment of epilepsy. I know a friend, my childhood friend, when I was growing up, had epilepsy. And we were always told if he has a seizure, then do as much as we can to make him safe and just let it work its way out, right? I haven't heard of anybody, apart from Jesus, who stops it in the middle with a word. Cures him right in the middle of a seizure. It just doesn't happen in the medical world. So something different in Jesus. And probably the most famous depiction of demon possession comes out of that movie, The Exorcist. It's not one I've seen, but I have heard that it's based on actual case. There's some truth in it. The amazing part, I'm told, is the amount of effort required to beat the devil. He's powerful. Satan is a cunning enemy. My mother brought me up, always telling me, just remember, Lucifer was an angel of light. It's not always the bad things that will lure you. So the devil's not some cute cartoon figure. He's real and he's dangerous. And the Bible urges us to take him seriously. Now, Jesus takes Satan seriously. In fact, he sees his whole ministry as conflict with Satan. He teaches about the power of Satan. He saw death as the supreme battle with the evil one. Jesus just isn't just a child of his age repeating what he had learned from others. He speaks definitively and personally about the power of Satan and continually warns others about his power. If Jesus takes him seriously, I think we should also. Now, others describe demon possession as mental illness. One psychiatrist, I was at a christening party one time, and I was talking to a psychiatrist, and I spoke about healing ministry and deliverance. And he said, there are times in my work when we could do with some of that, because there are some cases when there's something more that needs dealt with, more than mental illness. And I've heard that a number of times over the years. There are a number of facets to the Gerasene demoniac. We don't know his name. He's probably relieved about that. When we get to heaven, we'll meet him, and we won't even know it, because we don't know his name. There's something of an impasse between him and the villagers. He couldn't be trusted when the demons took hold of him, so he lived either in chains or out in the tombs, and he had to be had been out there for some time. And Jesus called this unclean spirits out of him. And we have this conversation where the disciples earlier who questioned, who is this, is answered by the demon-possessed man who Jesus heals. So he answers a question that he hadn't heard. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. The fate of the demon sounds like an answer to a question the man might well have had. He might have asked something like, is it going to come back? Will these demons come back and haunt me? And the answer was very visual for him, to see the pigs go over the hill. When those whose job it was to tend the pigs saw the man healed, sitting at Jesus' feet and dressed in his right mind, they were afraid. Maybe they thought, good golly, if he casts demons out that way, we know a lot of sick people. We're going to lose everything. I don't know what they were thinking, but they asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome by fear. Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. And that does that to us, doesn't it? I don't like change too fast. In fact, I'd prefer it went slower as I get older. But all it seems to be doing is getting faster and faster and faster. Were they afraid because they'd lost valuable pigs? And what would be next might be on their mind. They must have been so used to the demoniac that they couldn't see the immense value of his freedom and life restored. It's like us with the poor and the druggies and things, and we just get used to seeing them, and it's hard to imagine them actually getting restored. And sometimes it's not even practical. It just seems like they've lost their way in it all. So they must have been so used or confused by it all. They rejected Jesus out of fear, but Jesus had no fear of them or anything else. The man who had been demonized wanted, this is an interesting part of the story. The man wanted to go with Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus calls lots of people to come and follow him, don't we? He had lots of people following him. Sometimes there was 12, sometimes there was 40, sometimes there was a couple of hundred. People followed him everywhere. But he turned to the man and said, no, go back and tell what God has done. So what does he do? He went back and told what Jesus had done. So in his telling the story to us so that we can capture it, Luke is saying God and Jesus are one. Jesus is the answer to all our unhealthy fears. Don't be overcome by fear, but overcome your fear by trusting Jesus. Don't be overcome by Satan. Overcome Satan by trusting Jesus. When I started, I'd been in VMTC and then I went up north for some time and was ministering up there and had kind of not been connected with it because I was out in Parapadoo and a bit of an isolated place off the main drags and everything. Only about 2 hours off the main drag, mind you, but still, depending on which way you went, 2 to 4 hours. And even then, you're still out in the middle of nowhere. But came back down, and once I got really involved again, I noticed that we're just dealing with a lot of demons all the time. And as I worked through with that, I noticed the more we build the confidence in Jesus, the less we saw the demons. And the more confident people were about their faith, the less troubled they were in their lives. Do you find that? Do you find the more you focus on Jesus, the less those other things trouble you? They can take hold of us so easily. You know, whether it's health stuff or whatever way it comes sneaking at us. And it does, doesn't it? Sneaks in, works its way in, finds that point, that comfortable point to try and get in. And that's why we need one another. It's why we need the strength of the ministry of one another. Don't be overcome by fear, but overcome your fear by trusting Jesus. And Paul had said that in Galatians about we looked for faith to come, and then faith has come in Jesus. So faith is in Jesus. Jesus is the place of our faith. But faith is hoping for the things. Faith is to be sure of the things we hope for and certain of the things we cannot see. Do you remember that? Out of Hebrews? So, here it is. and it's in the person of Jesus. That's where we put our faith. So let me pray. Lord, give us a healthy fear, awe, amazement, and humility in the presence of Jesus, and a faith in him that delivers us from all that would steal life. Amen.